Ouch! Hey, what gives?
Oh, sorry. That was my marble. Could you pick it up for me, please?
No. I don't take kindly to being conked on the head and then being asked to return the weapon to its owner. Who are you, anyway?
You're not very nice, are you?
You just dropped a marble on my head. Would you be nice to you?
I said sorry. Mind you, it was an accident.
What's your name?
The one and only Matilda Braithwaite, at your service.
It's Wednesday afternoon. Why aren't you in school? And when did you move into the apartment building?
Well, if you must know, my family moved here 6 months ago from England. My father took a job with the steel company. We're just living here in this poor people apartment for now, until we find a better home. Are you poor?
I guess I am. So why aren't you in school?
I don't know. They just sent us home. What's your name?
Lacey Stocking.
That's a naughty name. Are you a naughty girl?
I beg your pardon?
My grandmama told me women with red hair were not to be trusted.
How old are you?
10.
Well, that's my ride. I have to go.
Are you going to be naughty on some street corner?
What? Someone needs to introduce your mouth to a bar of soap. I just met the strangest girl. I didn't even know she lived in the building until today. Well, we've been really busy. Speaking of which, Morelli called just as I was about to leave the office. And what did our favorite police sergeant have to say? There was an accident at the elementary school. A little boy fell down the steps and is now in critical condition. Oh my God, that's awful. But what does this have to do with homicide? Nothing. He just happened to be in the area when the call came in. But the parents of the boy want someone to look into the accident, so he sent them our way. The father is going to meet us at our office while the mother stays with her son at the hospital. I don't know what we can do, but I said sure. That would explain Matilda. Who's Matilda? The girl in my building? I asked her why she was home from school. She didn't know, but that didn't stop her from accusing me of being a prostitute. This is where I came in. As we came out of the elevator, a frantic-looking young man dressed in greasy overalls paced the hallway just outside our locked office door. How do you do? I'm Hardly Witt, and this is my partner, Lacey Stocking. You must be... Sam Royeski. Sergeant Morelli told me I could come and talk with you. He filled us in on your situation. I'm sorry to hear about your son. How is he? They're still running tests, but it doesn't look good. The missus and me, we're trying to stay optimistic.
What's his name?
Clint. He's only 8 years old. This Morelli guy, he said you might not be able to help us because you're usually dealing with the serious stuff.
Usually, but why don't you tell us how we can help you?
I wouldn't be here if... How do I say this? Do you know how sometimes you just know things or feel things in your gut, you know? Lacey here is an expert on gut instinct. What is yours telling you? Start at the beginning.
We were told that Clint was roughhousing with some other boys near the stairs as the students were on their way back to homeroom from an assembly. We were told that the hallway was crowded and somehow he was knocked over and fell down the steps.
Who told you this?
The principal, Mr. Brown.
He said him and some of the teachers who were monitoring the hallway at the time interviewed Clint's friends and those who were near him when it happened.
Who are these other boys?
Let's see. Tim Lawson. Joey... what's his name? Antonelli and Johnny Walsh.
They all live in my neighborhood. Johnny's my little buddy. I've lost many a game of stickball to those boys.
They're good kids, all of them.
But
Clint has asthma. He doesn't horseplay. He knows if he does, he'll start coughing. His friends know this, too.
Do you suspect that someone is lying?
I don't like calling folk liar unless they are, but this story doesn't sit right by me, that's all.
Which part bothers you the most, other than the roughhousing bit?
Well, Clint's a good kid, a shy kid. He doesn't do anything to get in trouble.
Heck, I wonder if he's really my son because there ain't a lick of sass in that boy. He never talks back to his mama or me. I'm just gonna come out and say it. I think he was pushed, on purpose. And they're just covering their tracks, hoping nothing happens to him.
You think one of the other students did it?
Yep. Why, I don't know.
You want us to look into this?
Can you? I don't have a lot of money.
Our fee is usually $25 a day, but maybe we can work something out.
Okay, thanks a lot. My old lady and me, we appreciate it.
Sam left our office, looking a little less anxious than when he came in. Hardly and I looked at each other, not sure how to proceed, so we decided to divide and conquer. I went home to talk with the boys in my neighborhood, and Hardly went off to the school to talk to the principal and the teachers.
Hey, Johnny, wait up.
Oh, hey there, Lacey. Why aren't you out playing Dick Tracy?
I am, actually. I came to talk with you and your pals.
Oh, no, not you, too.
Since you know what I'm talking about, we can get through this lickety-split.
Aw, gee, Lacey. I told Mr. Brown everything.
So let me get this right. You and your friends were roughhousing in the hallway, and Clint fell down the steps. Is that correct?
Who told you that?
Clint's father said the principal told him that. Are you saying that didn't happen?
There was a huddle of kids at the top of the steps, and before we knew it, we saw Clint tumbling downstairs. Honest, Lacey, we weren't horseplaying. Why are you asking me questions? You only solve crimes. Am I under arrest? No, you didn't do anything wrong. No, Clint's mom and dad want to know what happened, and I'm just helping them out. No fooling.
Scout's honor.
This is where you ask if I saw anyone suspicious.
That's right. Did you?
Nope. The hall was crowded and everyone was in a hurry, is all I saw.
What about Joey and Tim? Did they see anything?
Nah, same thing as me. It happened so fast. Is Clint gonna die?
I'm not sure, but don't you worry about your friend. He's being taken care of and you did nothing wrong.
My stomach hurts. I'm gonna go home now.
Okay, we'll talk later?
Yeah.
I watched Johnny Walsh drag his feet all the way back to his apartment building, my heart breaking for the little guy. I don't often question myself when taking on a case, but this seemed unnecessary, especially because kids were involved. I made up my mind to call Hardly as soon as I got inside my flat and tell him I didn't want to work on this case. But I met Matilda standing on the second floor landing.
I saw you talking to that little boy.
That's Johnny. You've probably seen him at school.
Are you friends with him, then?
We know each other. His mom and I go shopping together sometimes.
Is he in trouble?
Why would he be in trouble?
No reason. Just that little boy fell down the steps. Pushed down, more like it.
Pushed? Oh. Were you there when it happened?
The hall was crowded. I heard someone scream.
Did you meet with the principal and tell him what you heard?
He didn't ask me, just those boys. Is he dead, that boy?
I think those are enough questions for today. I need to make a phone call. Excuse me.
Calling your boyfriend?
I don't have a boyfriend.
My grandmama told me if women don't get married, their faces shrivel up like prunes.
Go home, Matilda. I called Hardly at our office, but he wasn't in, so I did the next best thing, made myself a sandwich and ate it while I made a list of what I needed from the grocery store. I got everything I could out of Johnny and didn't see a need to talk with his friends, so my work was done for the day. I trusted Johnny. He was upset and I didn't want to upset him more. A few hours later, on my way out the door, I heard a stampede of boys racing down the stairs. It was Johnny's friends, Joey and Tim. I was about to tell them to slow down before they got hurt, but I heard other voices coming from upstairs. One was Johnny. The other sounded like Matilda, but something was different.
I have to catch up with my friends.
Just come in for a second. I want to show you the toy my mother bought me.
Can't you just bring it to school tomorrow?
No, it might break. It'll only take a minute.
My mother told me never to go in someone's apartment unless I knew them. I don't know you.
Why don't you ask her and then come over tomorrow?
Oh, all right. This toy better be good.
It's the best thing you'll ever see.
I'll be the judge of that.
Johnny left. I stood in the hallway just outside my door, scratching my head. Matilda suddenly lost her accent. She was probably just pulling my leg the entire time. I felt like an idiot for believing her. All kids do silly things in the name of pretend. So what if Matilda adopted an English accent? She wasn't hurting anyone, although it did explain why the accent sounded a bit off. I strolled down the hall toward the stairs, remembering the first time I met Matilda. I covered my head just in case another marble accidentally fell from above. As I started down the steps, I gazed up. Matilda stood over the railing, watching me. There was a look in her eye that I had seen one too many times as a detective. My skin crawled. The hairs on the back of my neck stood up. I gazed up again. She narrowed her eyes, turned on her heel, and slammed the door to her apartment. That night, Hardley finally called me and told me what he gathered from talking with the principal and some of the teachers at the school.
Mr. Brown seemed to be brushing this under the rug, almost like he was trying to avoid a scandal. Kids trip and fall all the time at school, so I don't get it.
Do you think he's trying to cover for someone?
Like who? The teachers who were in the hallway at the time of the accident didn't see anything out of the ordinary. There was a lot of running toward the stairs, but no roughhousing, like Mr. Royeski said the principal had told him.
So it was just an accident and nothing more?
It looked like it. I stopped by the station and told Morelli. He wasn't surprised. Seemed to think Clint's parents are the overprotective sort and might be trying to cover all bases. Unless.
Unless what?
Unless their son dies and they're just preparing for what happens next. Maybe that's why Principal Brown was making it sound like it was no big deal. If something happens to Clint, parents might have the board fire him. I don't know. I'm not cold-hearted, but I feel like we're wasting our time. And if they don't have the money to pay us, I'll feel like a heel for taking it from them.
Then why don't we take a ride out to Mr. Royeski's place of work tomorrow and tell him we can't help him?
Good idea.
Pick me up at 9? I couldn't sleep a wink that night. So after a quick breakfast of coffee and toast, I jumped into my clothes, ran a comb through my hair, and raced out the door. I don't know how it happened, but the next thing I knew, my foot slipped on the top step, and the rest of me followed. I banged my elbow off a step and heard something go crunch as I slid down the stairs in the roughest sled ride of my life. Luckily, I was aware enough to grab onto one of the spindles to stop myself from plummeting all the way to the landing.
Lacey, you up there? Come on, I'm double parked.
Help me.
Jeepers, what happened? You all right? Did you hit your head? You break your neck? Don't move.
Will you shut up long enough for me to answer? I hurt my arm, nothing else. At least I don't think so.
How in the hell did you fall anyway?
I was running late. My foot hit the top step and that was all she wrote.
Why do you smell like grease?
Come to think of it, I do, don't I?
It's not on your jacket. Not on your hands. Not on your skirt. Oh, it's on your shoe. You got a gob of axle grease on your shoe.
Huh? How? I haven't worn these shoes in ages.
Hold on. Huh. Someone put a dab of grease on the top step. We'll worry about that later. Right now, get me to the doctor. I think I broke something.
It turned out I did in fact break something. My wrist. A few hours later, I walked out of the doctor's office with my arm in a cast and a sling, and my ego bruised worse than my backside. Hardly drove me home and promised to make me a very late lunch, but I had something else on my mind, an itch I needed to scratch.
Why do you have your lock-picking tools in your hand?
Call it a hunch.
Does this hunch have a name?
Apartment 302, Matilda Braithwaite. The little English girl? I don't think she's English. I overheard her talking with Johnny Walsh yesterday, as American as you and me. I just want to check on some things. You know how I feel about this. Think of it this way. It might be in her best interest. How so?
I've never seen her parents.
I've never even heard them upstairs. You're thinking, what? You don't have to go if you don't want, but I'm going to do this. You can start my lunch while I'm being, what is it you Pittsburghers call it? Nebby? I'm going to be Nebby right now.
Fine, I'll be a Neb-nose too.
You keep an eye out while I knock on the door. Mr. and Mrs. Braithwaite? Hello, anyone there? I'm a downstairs neighbor and I want to talk to you about your daughter.
Press your ear to the door. Hear anything?
Nothing. Okay, I'm going in. It was worse than I expected. The place was bare, no furniture, except items that came with the apartment. The kitchen sink was filthy with food-crusted plates. The overflowing garbage smelled raw. Liquor bottles were scattered about the place. A man's dirty overalls were strewn over the back of a kitchen chair. In the bedroom, a mattress, neatly made, lay on the floor. The closet was filled with pretty little dresses, perfectly lined up. Same with a few pair of shoes meticulously placed in a row on the floor. Next to the shoes was a metal container, once filled with peppermints, that had a very strong smell of axle grease. I didn't need to open it to know this. The smell was that strong. I had seen enough. I got out of there as fast as I could and dragged Hardly downstairs to my flat and told him what I had found.
Calm down. Why would a little girl put grease on the steps to make you... Oh, no.
Let's not jump to conclusions. I'm calling Morelli. I think we have a neglect case on our hands.
Morelli here.
It's me, your favorite pain in the butt.
Hey, can you send someone over who deals with child negligence? My 10-year-old neighbor upstairs seems to be living in a rough situation. Maybe someone can take a look into it?
It's getting late in the day for family services, but I can have a few of my men come over and speak with the parents.
Well, that's just it. I don't see... Hardly, what's going on out there?
Tell that no-good partner of yours he owes me money.
I'll take a look.
What's going on?
It just sounds like kids are playing upstairs.
Morelli, I'm going to go and see what this is about. Can you send your boys over now, please?
Okay, later. Come on, Hardly.
You did it. I did not. I'm going to tell everyone you did. The principal will have you arrested. For what? I didn't do anything. You pushed Clint down the steps. I saw you. Did not.
I have a busted wing. Maybe you should handle this. I'll be right behind you. It happened so fast that it caught us completely off guard. Hardly walked up the stairs to the third floor just as Matilda pushed Johnny down the steps. Hardly caught him in his arms before anything bad happened. I raced upstairs and grabbed Matilda by the arm with my good hand and dragged her kicking and screaming into her apartment.
Let go of me. I'll have my brother beat you up.
Calm down, little girl. What on earth is wrong with you? Why did you push Johnny?
That little brat had it coming.
Calm down, hear me? Take a deep breath, and you can drop the accent. I know it's fake. Where's your mom and dad? And don't you cross your arms and hold your breath. That's not going to work on me. Just answer the question.
I sent Johnny home.
How is he?
Shaken up, but he'll be okay. Well, 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 young lady. Mind telling us what this was all about?
Who are you?
Name's Hardly. I'm a private detective.
Nuh-uh.
So is she.
That's the dumbest thing I ever heard. Girls can't be detectives.
It's true. And there are two cops on their way over here to talk to you.
Why?
Did you have something to do with that little boy falling down the steps at school?
No.
Did you have something to do with the axle grease on the top step, the one I slipped and fell on? See this cast? That's because of you.
We both saw you push Johnny down the steps. You can't deny that.
So what? Why don't we sit down and have a talk? Maybe you can tell us what's going on here.
They'll have to torture me to get me to talk.
We can arrange that.
Where are your mom and dad?
Dead.
Who do you live with?
My brother.
And where is he?
Drunk.
You can't live like this. You need help.
The police took me away before, but I always run away.
Don't you want to live in a proper home and have someone look after you?
I can take care of myself.
No, honey, you can't. You're only 10.
Hello?
Hardly and I are going to talk with a policeman outside in the hallway. You stay put. We'll be right back. We shared our suspicions with the two police officers. They felt it was best to take Matilda in and find her a place to stay until they could find her brother. But as we went back inside the apartment, we found it empty. The window to the fire escape opened. Matilda had run away, just like she said she would. 2 weeks later, the police found Matilda and her brother heading toward Philadelphia. The two had been on the run for over 3 years, mainly because of Matilda. She was a troubled child who had fits of violence and lived in an imaginary world ever since their parents were killed in a car accident. Her brother Michael wasn't a minor and tried his best to take care of the both of them, but he had taken to drinking as a way of coping and couldn't hold a job, so they moved from town to town when authorities caught on to them. He eventually signed away his rights to Matilda, who is now living in a home for troubled children and is under the care of a psychiatrist. Clint Royeski made a full recovery and is happy to be back at school, not roughhousing with his pals. My arm healed from the fall, but I developed a habit of checking the steps for slippery goop, just in case. I also told Hardly and Morelli that I never wanted to work on a case that involved kids again. It was just too painful.